Welcome today to our service. We are starting a new series titled Journey with Jesus, and today's message is Jesus and a Woman and a Well, brought to us by Karen. The reading, Exodus 17 verses 1 to 7, read to us by Tim, and Psalm 95 1 to 11, read to us by Judy.
So the first of the Bible readings today is taken from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. And it's entitled, Water from the Rock. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, travelling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarrelled with Moses and said, Give us water to drink. Moses replied, Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. The Lord answered Moses, Go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord saying, Is the Lord among us or not?
The second reading is from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you will hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, They are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared and on oath, in my anger, they shall never enter my rest.
That ends on a bit of a downer, doesn't it? I declared in my anger, says God, they shall never enter my rest. But Jesus came. Thank goodness for that. And we do enter into God's rest, and God is very good to us. Now, if I asked you to form a little picture in your mind of a peaceful scene, of a place that you feel you could go to relax, some might say your happy place. I'm wondering if you can form a little picture in your head. Got an idea? We might try it. Here we go. Can you picture it? We've had lots of images today about the rocks and the fields and flooding over us and streams and rivers, lots of talk about water. So maybe your picture has water. If you don't have one, here's a box. Would you like to paint something in there of your own picture? Does that help you? Still, maybe not. I'll show you one of mine. Yesterday morning, my dad's staying up with us and Dad and I went walking at the beach with the dog. Our dog's not in that photo, either our dad and I, but that was down at Kurrumundi, and that was a peaceful place. There were actually lots of people out. Nobody at the beach is troubled by coronavirus. Isn't that good? We're all down gathering at the beach, and it was lovely. I don't know what your place is, but perhaps, as I said, there might be a babbling brook or a peaceful stream. Maybe it's the mountains. Maybe you've got a place that is particularly significant to you. Now, the women who, anyone here that attended Captivated at the end of last month? A few of us, actually 18 of us, which is fantastic, went down to Captivated at Stafford. And on the platform, there was a setting, massive meters and meters of plants, fresh plants, and there was a water feature. And as we sat and we listened to the messages, in those quiet moments, you could hear the water gurgling away. Now, I thought today I'd like to provide that, but that's a bit hard. So, sorry, you don't get that. So what about a well? I don't know if any of you had experience of wells or been in a place where there is a well, or may have been to, sometimes we see a wishing well, or maybe you've been on a farm or an area where you had a well. But our sermon today, Jesus and a woman and a well, the setting is a well. Now, that well was very significant. It was a place that it was the well of Jacob, Jacob's well. It was a significant historical place. And we've just finished our series looking at the life of Joseph. So if you want to go back to Genesis again, look at chapter 33. It tells us all about Jacob buying that land, purchasing the land. And as you read through chapter 48, Jacob bequests that well and that land to his son Joseph, his favoured son. So that well at Sychar, or Sychar, or whatever, this well, is now the site of a monastery. They've built a building around that well. And it's a place where lots of people want to go to because it's quite significant. Has anyone been there? I should have asked Sess before. Have you been there, Sess? Anybody been there? Tim, we can put that in our travel plans. Once COVID-19's over, we go on a trip. We go to Sychar. Now, there's been people over the years that have painted this, and I've got some images here. Now, that's a very happy, fine and dandy pictorial image of Jesus and the woman at the well. I'm not sure if it looked like that. Or maybe this one. It's a bit more of that. I don't know my art, so I can't tell you what era that is, but it's got the, you know, the very porcelain look about them. Or perhaps this one is more like a photo of a resetting. Maybe it's a bit more like that. So this was a drawing in the 1800s where an explorer was out in this area and examining it. And so that's an actual, like a sketch of the land in the area where they thought that was that site. Now, this one is not that well. That's a well somewhere. I don't know. That's a Google image well. Do you like it? Yeah, I don't mind it. So I want you to just look at that image, and maybe as you watch that image, I'm going to read to you the reading from John today, and just part of it, where this interaction took place. And maybe you can imagine it happening in that setting. Or if you have your Bible and you want to follow, I'm reading from John chapter 4 and verses 3 to 10. So he, Jesus, left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. I don't think in that picture it's about noon, because you can see the sun's quite low. So you just have to imagine the sun was right up overhead. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now I'm going to stop right there in the account. It goes on. The rest of that chapter still continues, but I'm going to leave it at that point there. We read on to see that Jesus had continued this conversation. He took the opportunity of this conversation to reveal some truths to this lady and to reveal some truths about himself. The book of John is where we're focusing when we go through our series here, Journey with Jesus, as we lead into Easter. It's the only gospel of the four gospels that has this recount of the woman at the well. John, as he writes his gospel, he refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved, or beloved, the beloved disciple. I like to refer to myself as the one that Jesus loved. I'm Jesus' loved daughter. So his gospel is one that really explores the relationships, the people stuff. I really like the book of John because I'm into people stuff, and John really gets down to these interactions. And that's going to be a bit of our focus over the next few weeks as we look at this series. What is it that we can learn from these people who journeyed alongside Jesus? Now, in the first half of this gospel, John talks about the encounters that he's had. Then he goes on to talk about Lazarus, which is the big crux of the middle of John, because it's really personal for him. Then we journey with Jesus the rest of the way to the cross. Now, the Bible Project has a description of what happens in John, and there's a pattern that he follows as he talks about these interactions. The first thing, Jesus meets someone, and Jesus says or does something in this interaction. And it's not just an ordinary kind of person. The woman at the well was a woman, so that's not really the right thing for a rabbi to sit and have a discussion with a woman, and she was not a Jew. She's also, as we read on, a woman who has had many husbands and lives with a man now who's not a husband. She's an adulterous woman and a woman who would not be well accepted or received in the place. So in all of these interactions, Jesus says or does something, and then the questioner has a bit of a misunderstanding, or there's a controversy. There's a bit of a back and forth in the discussion. Nicodemus, Nicodemus, who also meets with Jesus, he asks, what do you mean that we have to be born again? Can I enter into my mother's womb? So there's this bit of this understanding. The woman at the well says, when Jesus offers her water, sir, you've got nothing to draw. You can't draw water from here, and the well is very deep. So people interpret Jesus' words as a real literal understanding, but there was always a much deeper meaning. In each case, Jesus doesn't force an answer upon them, but instead he allowed them to decide for themselves what the answer was. So Jesus allows them to figure it out. If you've spent time with children, or you've got your own children, or particularly teenagers, I'm going to say, you know those times when they can't be told something? Or is that just me? Okay, good. Sometimes we say they have to learn the hard way. They have to figure it out. But Jesus allows them to figure it out for themselves. What a kind and generous God we have, who created within us the desire to know and to feel, to connect. He uses our own interactions, our own experiences. He guides our paths so that we can figure it out in his time, in the right time. And just like we do, the people make a choice. The people who we read about in this Gospel of John, they make their own choice about who they think Jesus is. But here for me is the crux in all of this passage. It comes down to this one thing. It's all about exchange. I think that the stock markets are showing at the moment that the exchange rate is going all over the place. But this kind of exchange is a different exchange. It's an exchange of words. It's an unlikely exchange. It's not something that we would have expected to happen. It's in an unusual place. It's unexpected. It's also an exchange of water. Our verses today from Exodus and from Psalm looked at that incident in Meribah where the people were complaining and grizzling to God, give me some water. Where's the water? and it talks about water as a refreshment. But in this exchange, Jesus asks for a drink of water. Now, do you think that Jesus needed this woman to give him a drink of water? I don't know. We've been talking about it. We've been having this discussion. Jesus was human. He was fully and properly man. So he was thirsty. The reading tells us that he was tired from the journey. And he asked the lady to give him a drink of water. Now, I'd like to believe that Jesus, if he wanted, could have just made water appear. His disciples have gone into town to get some food, maybe some water. I don't know if they carried water. They didn't sell bottled water at the shop. But I like to think that Jesus asked for water not because he needed the water so much, but he wanted to take advantage of this opportunity. He wanted this exchange. Later on, when the disciples rejoined Jesus and they found that he was in this conversation with the woman, they were a bit miffed, they didn't know what was going on, they urged them in, they said, "Rabbi, teacher, have something to eat." He said to them, "I have food that you know nothing about." In Jesus' humanity, as I said, he was human. He surely needed to eat and drink. But God's provision goes way beyond our understanding, goes beyond our material needs. And Jesus had experienced that before. He'd been tempted in the desert. Satan said, "Turn the breads into stone. Turn the stone into bread." Jesus was beyond that. He was above the whole issue of being thirsty and hungry. Yes, he was hungry, he was thirsty. But he did ask her, he asked her this, "Give me a drink of water, the water from the well." So why? This is the big question. Why does he ask that? Jesus says in this exchange, "I'll take your water." I've never really drunk well water. I've drunk tank water. It's refreshing. But perhaps some of the commentators have said the water may have been warm. Deep in the ground, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was cool. But it was still water, not water running like from a flowing stream when you go on a bushwalk and you drink the water out of the stream. Perhaps it was bitter. Bitter water. It was definitely water that runs out. It's not water that lasts forever. Now, there was a reason that this lady was there in the heat of the day. She didn't want to bump into anyone. She didn't want to have an exchange. She didn't want to meet the people. She was someone who was criticized, rejected by people. So imagine how appealing that may have been to her when Jesus said, "You can have water that never runs out. You never have to come back here to the well with this water." Now, of course, we know Jesus is speaking about a spiritual living water, but what an appealing thing for her. "In exchange," he says, "I will give you living water." It's not just about the physical water, it is so much more. As Jesus went on in this discussion, we learn about this woman's background. We learn a little bit about her. And Jesus says to her, "I know this about you." She says, "You must be a prophet that you know all this about me." This woman represents a lot of bad stuff, a lot of baggage. Unrighteous, undesirable, things that were in her life. These were things that she holds on to, things that she brings with her, but she brings them to this exchange. So maybe if you look at what that stands for, some of the things that she might have had that she brought to the exchange. She brings her shame. She brings all that is in her past. And we don't know, we don't read everything about her, but no doubt there was lots of stuff that had happened. She brings her bitterness and her grief, her loss, wondering what could have been. What could have been if I'd kept that first relationship, or what could have been if I wasn't with this man now? We don't know, we could only guess, I suppose. But she brings her hurt and her sin. She brings the lack of worth that she felt. She had been rejected many times. She felt that. In her eyes, I wonder what she felt she was worth. But Jesus knows about that. We say, "Jesus knows all about my sorrows." He sees our heart and he saw this woman's heart. His desire, his hope for her is that she would know different things. That in exchange, she would experience freedom. She would experience a future. Maybe she would know hope and acceptance. What a change that would make for her personally to know that she was accepted by people. healing, physical healing maybe, emotional, spiritual healing, and wellness and wholeness. For this woman to know what her worth was and to make a fresh start. So Jesus wants to see that exchange. You bring me this, I'm going to give you this instead. Now, it was definitely appealing to her. She says, "Yes, sir, give me this water." It was very appealing. In verse 15, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." It was so appealing to her that she wanted to share it with all the people back in her hometown. She said to them, "Come, meet this man. He's told me everything I've ever done. He must be a prophet. Is this the Messiah?" I believe she was excited, very excited. But a life transformed, a new life in Jesus, that's what we all desire. That's why we meet. That's what we come seeking for. That's what we search for God, for a new life, for a change. John 4, 39 to 42 says in the Message, "Many of the Samaritans from that village committed themselves to him, to Christ, because of the woman's witness. 'He knew all the things that I did. He knows me inside and out,' she said. They asked him to stay on, so Jesus stayed in that village 2 more days. A lot more people entrusted their lives to him when they heard what he had to say. They said to the woman, 'We're no longer taking this on your say-so. We've heard it for ourselves. We know it for sure. He is the Savior of the world.'" So that encounter, that exchange, led to so much more. Now, if you were here last week, we had a great celebration. We had adherents, 12 adherents, and Jess became a soldier. One of the things we asked of Jess was to give us a few words. And I've asked her permission today. Jess is out with the kids, but I've asked for her permission to use these words and to share them with you. You may remember, but we said to Jess, "Tell us what life was before, some words that sum up life." Jess said these: toxic, dangerous, full of fear and anxious. Exchange that. Jesus brought into her life these things instead: purpose, a sense of purpose, love, being loved and accepted by a family of people who love God alongside her, hope, being hopeful, being restored and finding meaning. What an exchange. I loved it when Jess shared those words, and I hope you can see the significance in that and how deeply moving that was to hear those words. But I wonder what you want to have today to exchange. I wonder what you have that you hold on to. You have baggage, or you have things that are part of you. What would you bring so that you could take away something else in exchange? I was looking, great exchange, and I found this image that shares these things. For our failures, his new beginnings. For our weaknesses, his strength. For our sadness, his joy. For our broken hearts, his comfort. For our pain, his healing. For our disappointment, his love. And for our mistakes, his forgiveness. I want to leave that sit with you for a few minutes, and there might be something there that you think, yeah, that's great, that's it. What is it today, I want to ask you again, what is it today that you want to exchange? And maybe that image, "Lord, take away my," remember, it's one of the words we've seen, "take away my fear, take away my anxiety, take away my anger, my hurt. And give me, Lord, I ask, please give to me." I will leave that with you to finish and maybe fill in a blank to look over that. Now, in finishing today, I want to briefly look at a parallel between the old and new in this exchange. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the laws, the priests had a role, and then the New Testament and Jesus as our high priest. In the book of Numbers, there's a lot of rules, and Leviticus, and you read through that and sometimes you think, what is this all about? God, I don't understand it. I'm thankful I don't have to go and buy 2 pigeons and kill them and put the blood on the right earlobe and the big toe. And it just seems sometimes we just think, God, what is all that? But it's in God's word. and it's true. And it's at the time was created by God and given to his people. But in Numbers chapter 5, a woman who was thought to be guilty or accused of adultery was to be brought before the high priest. There were to be a number of offerings that she was to present. And she would be given a cup of water. But it wasn't clean water, it was unclean water. He would take dirt, dust from the tabernacle, put it into the water, and create this unclean water to be given to her. And if she was actually guilty of adultery, and she'd been found to do that, that water would cause her to be sick. If she wasn't guilty, it would have no effect. But if you could picture this, here is the priest holding a cup of unclean water to give to this adulterous woman, this dirty water. It sounds terrible. But Jesus came to be our high priest. And Jesus says to this woman, give me your water. Give that to me. You don't have to drink it. I will take that. Give me that cup. That cup that's been put on you, I'll take it. I'll drink it for you. Jesus, Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. I prefer that, don't you, in that exchange? I'd prefer Jesus to take that drink for me. God is the giver of all good things. Today we're going to listen to a song. It's a song for you to reflect. Maybe look at that image, consider it now. We're actually going to go to the clip and you can read through the words. But maybe keep that in your mind. Lord, take from me, and instead, I want that exchange. Please give me. This song, Great Are You, Lord, asks us to consider that exchange. We ask Jesus to take it, give it. Don't take it back. Leave it with him. Instead, we ask that Jesus would give us that living water. The chorus in that song says, it's your breath in our lungs. It's you, God, that gives us life. And we pour out our praise. We pour out the old water. We pour out our praise to Jesus. Water, as I said, is a really significant symbol. It's such a healing, cleansing, comforting metaphor. Living water. So today, feel that water, that Spirit of God rush over you. Let it pour out over you and pour out your praise to God. Father God, you give us life. You give us your love. You give us hope and freedom. You restore us. May we praise your holy name.
Thank you for listening today. It is our prayer that the service has been helpful to you. If you would like to know more, our service is on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, the Salvation Army, Caloundra, 119 Sugarbag Road, Little Mountain. God bless.